a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Well, let's have a look at what we might be able to see in the night sky during the month of May. Of course, in our northern hemisphere, it means that the nights are getting rather short. So I'm afraid some of the things I'm going to point out, you might have to sort of be up in the middle of the night to see. But what about the stars? Well, after sunset, you've got Gemini setting down in the west. Leo the lion, like the lions on Trafalgar Square, is towards the south, going a bit towards the southwest. And over to the left of Leo and lower down is the constellation of Virgo, in which now lies the planet Saturn. Between the sort of the tail of Leo the lion and the star Spica, the brightest star in Virgo, is a region we call the realm of the galaxies. Because there, with the telescope, you can see many, many galaxies forming what we call the Virgo cluster, which is the supercluster, or at the heart of the supercluster, of which our own little local group of galaxies, our Milky Way galaxy and Andromeda being the largest, are outlying members. So it's a very rich area to look at when there's no moon and you have a dark, transparent sky. High overhead, we have Ursa Major, with the lovely group of stars forming the plough, and Merak and Dubhe are the pointers that point towards the pole star, as I'm sure you know. With binoculars, if you look at the tail, there are three stars forming the tail of the bear, or the handle of the plough, and the uppermost one, the middle one of those three, is in fact easily seen as a double star system with binoculars. And if you look with a telescope, you'll see that the brighter of the two is in fact a double itself. So it's a very pretty thing to see. And you'll also find there's another rather fainter star making a broad triangle with the two. So that's a nice little binocular object. As the night continues and you look over towards the east, you'll see the star Arcturus in Bootes. And then the constellation of Hercules. The brighter stars make up the Keystone. And about two-thirds of the way up on the right-hand side of the Keystone, binoculars might pick out a little fuzzy glow, and that's a rather lovely globular cluster called M13. As you go across, you come to the bright star Vega in Lara, and then we have Cygnus the Swan above Aquila the Eagle, a rather beautiful area of the sky we'll talk more about next month. Down below Hercules is a rather large but not very prominent constellation, Ophiuchus, below which is Scorpius, and a bit to the lower left is Sagittarius. There, towards the centre of our galaxy, and they're very rich in objects, but sadly from our northern climes, we don't see them very well. It's a very good reason to go down, perhaps as far south as the Adriatic, or the south of Italy, even better, to actually try and look at that part of the sky to see some of the lovely things that are there. Okay, well, what about the planets? Well, the king of planets, Jupiter, Jove, that passed behind the sun way back at the end of February, so it's now visible again in the pre-dawn sky. It sort of rises at the start of May, not long before twilight begins to sort of increase over in the east. It's at magnitude minus 2.1. So given a good low eastern horizon, you should spot it quite easily with binoculars. Now, of course, during the month, it will rise earlier and earlier. Of course, so does the sun. But by the end of the month, it rises about 2:30 British summer time and will then be minus 2.3 magnitude. Probably not the very best time to see Jupiter, but there is a highlight coming up a bit later. Saturn may now be easily seen in the south after sunset. It lies in Virgo down to the lower left of the constellation of Leo the Lion, and can thus be seen for much of the night at magnitude about plus 0.8, getting somewhat fainter to plus 1 during the month. The angular size of the disk is about 18.5 arc seconds. The rings extend to about 40 arc seconds. It's not as bright as it usually is, because the rings are in fact very close to edge on, so appear very thin. In fact, at this moment in time, due to the difference between the inclinations of the orbits of Saturn and the Earth, the tilt, as we see it, is actually reducing. It starts a month at around 2 degrees, but by about late May, it has a minimum angle of about 1.7 degrees, so the rings will be very, very thin. And then, finally it starts to open out, and gradually we'll see more and more of the northern face of the rings. We haven't seen that side of the rings for quite a while. And again, if you have a small telescope, you can easily see the brightest satellite, Titan. That's at magnitude 7.8. And if you've got a telescope of 8 inches or so, you can see several more. Very nice, lovely planet to observe. Mercury passed in front of the Sun on April the 28th, and that's going to appear in the morning twilight sky during the latter part of May. It's at its greatest angular distance from the Sun on the 26th of May, but there's a problem. It lies along the ecliptic, and that is at a very shallow angle to the horizon at dawn. And so even then, it'll only be about 5 degrees above the horizon, perhaps half an hour before sunrise. You might just pick it out, but honestly, it's not a very good time to see Mercury. Now, of course, over the last few months, we've been observing Mars. It's still visible in the southwest after sunset. It's actually now moving quite rapidly eastwards from Cancer into Leo. The angular size starts May at 7.3 arc seconds and drops to 6. On the 31st of May, it will lie just 3.5 degrees to the right of Regulus. So with binoculars, you'll have both Mars and Regulus in the same field of view. With that angular size, I'm afraid a telescope isn't going to show you very much on the surface. You'll just see this salmon pink colour. Well, if any of you have looked towards the evening sky after sunset, you couldn't have failed to see the lovely planet Venus, shining at magnitude minus 3.9. It's the brightest object in the sky after the Moon. It has an angular size of 11.4 arc seconds, which is gradually increasing because it's getting nearer to us. Interestingly, its brightness stays pretty constant all the time we see it, at about minus 3.8 to minus 4. And that's because as it nears the Earth, it becomes a thin crescent. It's also much nearer to us. And the effective reflecting area, as we see it from Earth, remains pretty well constant. So, quite a lot to see this month, if you're prepared to have a look both in the morning and the evening. So, do we have some highlights for the month? Well, there are a few, but some of them you've got to be up in the middle of the night. But one of them you can see in broad daylight. I mentioned Jupiter is now visible in the morning. Well, if you get up at about 5 o'clock British Summer Time, on the 9th and 10th of May, and if it's clear, you'll see Jupiter with a rather lovely thin crescent moon in the pre-dawn sky. On the 9th, the moon is about 6 degrees up and to the right of Jupiter. On the 10th, it's about 10 degrees away to its left. Maybe, if you have a look one of those 2 days, it'll be the first time you see Jupiter on its, so we say, its new apparition. An apparition is an appearance of a planet in the sky. Now, this next one I think is rather nice. It's to have a go at spotting Venus in daytime. Now, it's not that easy to do because unless you're actually focused on it, you won't see it, even if it's bright enough to be seen. On Sunday the 16th of May, the moon passes just below the planet Venus. At 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, British Summer Time, the northern edge of the moon is just a quarter of a degree below the planet, so that should make it relatively easy to find. Now, at that time, the moon and Venus will lie just 5 degrees south of east, at an elevation of 36 degrees. So if you have a compass to give you where east is, it should be quite easy to scan up and down with binoculars and find both the moon and Venus. Now, they lie 30 degrees away from the Sun, which is quite a distance, but please still be very careful when looking for them. Keep well towards the east and keep your binoculars very, very well away from the Sun. So that would be a rather nice thing to see. Now, of course, later that night, they'll still be visible. And in fact, they'll lie very close to the open cluster M35 in Gemini, which will be 1 degree above the Moon. So with binoculars, that would be a rather nice thing to see as well. I haven't before talked about objects on the Moon. A lot of astronomers don't like the Moon because its light prevents you seeing faint objects. But if it's there, I quite like to look at it. And around the 25th, 26th, just before the Moon becomes full, the Terminator is relatively close to an interesting object. It's called Schroeter's Valley. and it lies very close to two craters, a bright ray crater called Aristarchus, which is 41 kilometers across, and another much older crater called Herodotus, which is about 36 kilometers across. The valley extends north then west for about 97 kilometers, has a width of about 6 to 9 kilometers, and a depth of about 1 kilometer, and it's a very interesting object to look at. I've also, on the night sky page, just put night sky into Google, included an image taken by the astronauts. And the whole thing, the two craters, being eyes, and the form of the valley, are sometimes called the cobra's head. So you might like to look at night sky, but have a look yourself with a telescope if you've got one. Okay, well, a couple to go. On the 28th of May, a star called Sigma Scorpii, which means it's in the constellation Scorpius, not far from Antares, which is the brightest red star in Scorpius, is occulted by the moon. It's actually quite nice to see a little star disappear behind the moon. That's around 2 o'clock BST, and I put a little diagram on showing where it would be seen as from Manchester. But because the moon's quite close, we get parallax, and quite where you'll see it in relation to the moon will depend whereabout you are. So it disappears soon after 2 o'clock in the morning and reappears about an hour later. You might just have a look at that. The moon and Antares will be low in the south, but of course you can't miss the moon if it's clear. And finally, at the very end of the month, you have a reasonable chance of spotting a comet. Not very bright, I'm afraid. It's called Comet R1 McNaught. It will be low in the northeast, again about 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, during May, the comet passes low below the constellations of first Pegasus and then Andromeda. But it'll be easiest to spot on the very last day, because then it is just below the star Beta Andromedae, which is quite a bright star and easy to find. In fact, that star is on the star hop route from the square of Pegasus to M31. You start at the top left star of the square, which is Alpha Andromedae. You go left and a touch down in this case to a star, and then continue left and up a bit, and you then come to Beta Andromedae. Now, to find M31, you turn sharp right, you pass one brightish star, and the same distance again gets you to M31, which is a fuzzy-looking object. Instead, if you just get to Beta Andromedae and drop your binoculars a little bit below, you should also see a fuzzy object, not nearly as bright, but that will in fact be Comet McNaught. Now, it may well get brighter during June, and I'll tell you about that next month. So there we go, some things for you to look at during the month of May. Now, I've been asked, and I continue to say a little bit about the Southern Hemisphere, and, of course, the region that you can see down there that we can't is towards the south. And let me just say one or two of the things you can see sort of after sunset and during the mid-evening. And, of course, down there you've got much longer nights than we have up here. Well, the Milky Way is arcing over from the east to the west fairly high in the south. And almost straight up above you is the little constellation of Crookes, the Southern Cross. There are two bright stars in Centaurus, Centaurus Alpha, Centaurus Beta, that are pointers that point towards Crookes. If on the way to Crookes, you sort of turn left and go up a bit, you might well spot another fuzzy object, and that's Omega Centauri. It's been said for a long time it's been the best and brightest globular cluster, that's a spherical group of stars, that date back from the time our galaxy was formed. However, it's now thought by some it's not actually a globular cluster, but the core of a small galaxy whose stars were sort of torn away by the gravitational effects of our own galaxy. The reason they say it is because there may well be a little black hole at its heart, and also there are several generations of stars, whereas globular clusters tend all to be old stars dating from perhaps 10, 11 billion years ago. But it's a nice object to look at. Coming down towards the east, you've got Scorpius, which of course you see a lot better than we do. Down at the bottom of Scorpius, there's a rather lovely thing which is called the Southern Jewel Box. You might like to look at that. And then of course you've got Sagittarius, which is rising in the east and rises higher during the evening. And that is absolutely full of lovely objects. And you can't fail to spot with binoculars a lovely bright region above what we call the teapot of Sagittarius, which is in fact the nebulous region called Messier 8. If you imagine the shape of the teapot and the spout and liquid pouring out of the spout as you hold it up, that liquid would actually fall through a rather lovely cluster called M7. This is an open cluster. Up to the right of that, there's another cluster we call M6, which isn't quite as spectacular, but nevertheless, that is a wonderful region to observe. And you will see Ophiuchus as well as we do, higher up. In fact, the Sun spends a bit more time in Ophiuchus than it does in Scorpius, I believe, on its path through the heavens. So really, it ought to be one of the constellations of the ecliptic. But would you want to be known as an Ophiuchan? Perhaps not. At that point, I shall stop. I hope you have a nice month's observing.